name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear Christian friends, 1 Corinthians 15 seems an appropriate lesson for today, this first day of finals week, dealing as it does with the final thing. And apparently I'm not the only one who feels that way. I'm holding a letter that I found written very recently. It was crumpled up and it was discarded, but I'm sure that it was written with the very best of intentions. I'd like to read it to you this morning. It's dated late evening of November 15th, 1981, and it's marked anonymously from a student in Concordia Seminary. Quite curiously, it's addressed to Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, if I may. My dear brother Paul, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have to forgive me. I've been reading your mail again. I recognize that you intended your letter to be read by the Corinthians, but so many others of us have found it helpful and encouraging that I know you don't really mind. Today I found it most helpful and most encouraging, particularly the section from what we have labeled chapter 15. You see, it's that time again, that most discouraging time again, finals week. Finals. It's such a descriptive word. It gives me cause to reflect on the final thing, and hence my recent rereading of your letter. You have written of the end times, of eschatology, of the life beyond this one, and as a good Lutheran would, you save your comments for the final chapter. I find that appropriate for my particular situation. For here I am at the end of the church year, at the end of the quarter, and as usual, almost at the end of my rope. You see, Brother Paul, I also fight with beasts. Now I know that there is some question among us as to whether we are to believe that you actually fought live animals at Ephesus, or whether your description of such great peril is to be taken metaphorically, but I cannot help but identify with it personally. With the Lord's guidance, I am in the midst of preparing myself for service to his kingdom, and it has not been an easy road. It is a struggle. Like you, I die every day, and like you, I fight with beasts. I see the beasts that come at me from within myself, and I can honestly say that there are none any more vicious anywhere. For instance, you wrote to the foolish Corinthians because they have so many doubts. I have doubts. Doubts about my faith, about the call, about my worthiness to serve in this highest capacity. And like the Corinthians, I am the victim of a rather poor attitude at times, especially times like this week. I could easily fall into the trap of what you have called eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Brother Paul, I, like you, am a victim of the weak flesh winning out over the willing spirit. I know full well that my energy should be directed to the proper end, that of preparation for ministry, but I fail miserably. Sometimes my only motivation is to get good grades, whether I really learn anything or not. And then the beast of pride rears its ugly head, and once again, I fall prey to those beasts within me. In your letter, I noticed that you warn also against the beasts that attack from outside ourselves. You quote the poet Menander, "Bad company ruins good morals." Things have not changed much. Those words ring true today. I don't need to look very far to find distractions and temptations that lead me away from my task. But your letter, no more than that, your living example of fighting off the beast that came between you and your objective, has given me that help, that encouragement for this week that I wrote of earlier. These past few days, as I looked ahead with fear and trembling at the papers due, tests waiting, grade point average to maintain, teachers and fellow students to impress with my daring and impeccable scholastic efforts, I rallied all the inner resources that my innumerable years of theological training had provided, coupled with the great pride that I possessed in my past achievements, and I discovered, to my dismay, that all my self-sufficiency, weighty as it is, still left me painfully ill-prepared for what lay ahead. So I read your word to the Corinthians and found once again the example and the testimony you have given. What do I gain if, you ask, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? Of course, nothing is gained by my feeble attempts at battling pride and temptation. Even if I worked myself to death in the effort, my death earns me nothing. It is Christ's death and his victory over death in the resurrection that is the key to a successful battle with the beast. I always thought your letter was such a wonderful description of future events, a resurrection to look forward to someday, a nice picture to gaze at from afar. I never realized what a practical lesson you were giving. Sure, as a Christian, I have my greatest hope in the resurrection, and I look forward to the glorified body Christ has promised me. I'm sure that was a comfort to you as you face your final hour, and it will be for me also. But Jesus' resurrection means so much more to me even now since I've read your letter again. I've come to my right mind and wakened from a stupor of blindness to finally see that the hope in the resurrection means victory today. The beasts are slain. I need not glory in my strength and in my accomplishments. All my pride is in Jesus Christ, who has accomplished what I could never do so that I could be set free. And now, beloved apostle, I face the beast that I must face with a new enthusiasm, with a new hopefulness, in the manner in which you yourself face the challenges and dangers of your own ministry. The promise of glory Christ has given me, regardless of my performance this week, motivates me to do my very best in service to him. Victory over the beast and my personal righteousness are not contingent on my profundity in tests or my accuracy in Hebrew quizzes. In Christ, the dead are raised and deliverance is assured. Today, I don't ask myself, will I look good on the honor roll at the seminary? I ask, will my Lord be glorified before men if I am adequately prepared to serve as a minister of the gospel? I don't ask, will my interest be served by working all night and acing this test? I ask, will Christ's kingdom be better served by my utmost effort? I don't ask, will the prof be impressed by my great grade? I ask, will my life be a testimony to all that my Lord has done for me? Brother Paul, you truly were inspired when you wrote that Christ's strength is magnified in our weakness. In these final days, I'm always tempted to rely on my own resources for weapons to fight the beasts with. I bet I could make myself look pretty good, too. But thanks for the letter. I needed to straighten out my motivations for performance this week. To Christ belongs all the glory, for he is the one who has earned the ultimate victory. I think I'm ready now. By his power, I can fight the beast and win. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you also. The letter is unsigned. It could have been written by any of us. May the Lord direct our efforts. Amen. We continue with the last two verses of our hymn.